And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, again for another opportunity to study about thinking right. We pray that you lead us tonight with thy Spirit and help me, Father, to drive home the point of this wonderful, wonderful psalm and really a psalm for life. And I just pray that the impact would be great upon the saved and the lost. We pray for your power and your help tonight to accomplish what you want. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 1 and verse 1 through 6 is just a great, great psalm. It's a life-changing psalm. It's a psalm for life. It's something that should be considered on a regular basis. And asking yourself the question, as a saved person, am I walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Am I staying in the way of sinners? Am I sitting with the scornful? I think we have to be very, very careful not to allow the world's philosophies to have a part in our life, the world's philosophies to take root in our life. And I'm not saying it's very easy, but it can be easy if you expose yourself on a regular basis to the world. And notice what the Bible tells us here. And these, again, in verse 1, are steps of degradation, steps downward, steps away from God, steps away from the truth. And we need to be very careful. And notice the order here. The psalmist states, walking, standing, and sitting. Now, you know that this is probably happening at least once in life where you run into someone and say, you know, I really don't have time. Can we get together tomorrow? Can I talk to you later? Next thing you stand still. You're sitting down and talking things over. That can happen with the world. We can wind up walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Instead of walking in the light as he is in the light, instead of walking in the truth, instead of abiding in the Word of God, we can have bad counsel and wind up being affected and walking that way. That's why it's so important, beloved. Please listen to me tonight, all of us. It's so important that you and I regularly filter what we're doing, what we're thinking, how we're behaving, where we're going, what we're involved with the Word of God. And so important. Then you see the other steps. We speak about the counsel, and then the way, and then the seat, the ungodly, the sinners, and then the scornful. And I have to tell you that it's very easy to point out scorners today. Those who make fun of anything right, anything decent. Those who mock the Bible. Those who mock the Son of God. Those who mock the truth. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. I just want to touch on this briefly. The freedom of speech. What a wonderful, wonderful, a law to have in place in our country. But we have to understand that the freedom of speech is going to go both ways. You know, we want freedom of speech. And as much as we would be opposed to cults and false religions and so on, if we have freedom of speech, they also must have freedom of speech. When you think about us having freedom of speech, then also those who promote sin, a lifestyle, a vice, all these different things, they also must have freedom of speech in a secular country. And that's what we have today. But we have to understand, as much as we may disdain that freedom of speech, they have the right to do that. We understand tonight, right? That's why we're going to love the millennium so much. Because the freedom of speech is the freedom to speak the truth and nothing else. Amen? And we'll look forward to that day. But we also know this, that we need to be careful that we're not influenced by the ungodly counsel, by sinners, and by the scornful. And let me tell you how you can be influenced by it. You're listening to the conservative radio. Not much out there, but they say it's conservative. You'd be careful. Because as you listen, you can become weakened in your stand. You can start justifying or rationalizing what you believe or what they want you to believe. And that goes also along with the same lines, beloved, of ungodly counsel, sinners, and scornful. You need to be careful what you expose yourself to, because it can have an effect on your heart. Your standards can wane. And that's why you need to be careful what you're exposed to. Now, it all starts with the entertaining of false philosophies, false beliefs, and false doctrines. The Bible warns us, Colossians 2:18, beware lest any man spoil you with vain philosophies. And the Bible warns us in 2 Timothy 3, about the importance of God's word and the importance of not being influenced by man's fables. Philosophy in itself is not wrong. And the question is, what kind of philosophy do you have, or what is your philosophy? Because it's going to dictate what you think. And of course, if you have a false philosophy, it can actually damn your soul. Now, we have to study base our philosophy on the Bible. We need to have a biblical philosophy of life and practice. Tradition's good, and if it's solely generated from God's word. If it's not, we need not practice it in our lives or our church. And understand this, beloved, that as members of a Long Island Baptist Church or an Independent Baptist Church, we are affecting, in our outside practice, we are affecting and could infect the house of God. So we have to be very careful. Now notice verse 2 of chapter of the first Psalm. We find here the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he is doing what Jesus said to do in John 15, that we need to abide in Christ, abide in the truth, plant ourselves in the truth. And that's why it's important to allow the word of God to be hidden in your heart, to guide and direct your steps, to lead you, to fill you, to dominate you, to control you, to make your decisions. And I'm going to tell you, there are people in our church that are just not producing much fruit. And there's a reason for it. Because you have mixed the world's philosophy with the Word of God. And you have allowed the world to make decisions for you. You're being affected by the world. You're justifying. I know the Bible says this, preacher, but I had someone write to me recently about church attendance. And they said to me that, they said, Pastor, you know, I know the Bible says that we need to come to church faithfully. I understand that. And I want to come to church. But there are other things that are just as a priority in the Bible. Not forsaking your gathering together. I mean, how what do you do with that verse? What supersedes attendance at the house of God? I realize people are sick and so on, and I understand that. I understand people are not well; they get a flu bug and all these different things. I thought it was so sweet the other day. The Ackles missed most of the missions conference because of sickness. And Haley came to school on Monday, I think it was, and she said, how was the missions conference? I was so sorry you missed. What took place? See, that's the spirit we ought to have. If you can't be here because of illness, you want to be here. Amen? But just to say, well, you know, grandma's come to town, and, you know, we haven't seen her for 50 years. You know, you'll see her in another 50 years. Don't worry about it. Get to the house of God or bring grandma with you. You know, the only time Jesus missed church was Wednesday night when he died. That ought to be our motto. I'm going to church unless I'm dead or dying. I'm going to be in the house of God. And that ought to be our spirit. But see, people allow the world to have an influence and or other Christians. I do that purposely to emphasize, you know, they say they're Christians. I'm telling you, beloved, please listen to Pastor tonight. We're in the great apostasy right now. It's not coming. We're here. People have departed from the truth. People have left the truth. I mean, I'm telling you right now that the average pastor, I'm talking about independent Baptist pastor, does not preach on Bible separation. You understand how I said that? Bible separation? What the Word of God says. Most preachers don't preach about, separation of the sexes. You know, men can dress like women, women can dress like men. Now, I know they don't believe that, but they don't teach it. And Facebook, I'm just telling you, there's things I like about Facebook. There's so much I don't like about it. Because so many times people just indict themselves, and it's also a poor testimony of their so-called Christianity. Wearing pants and immodest in their dress and the world and all the other things. And they write, these professing Christians write the music that they supposedly love, and it's the world's music. It's just so disheartening. But we know that we're in the last days. But the godly man, he's the man who and the woman who delights themselves in the law of the Lord. And that's how we get to the place of thinking right, meditating properly, because we're dwelling on the Word of God. We're dwelling on good thoughts. And notice this blessed man's delight is God's Word. His joy, his happiness is the Word of God. He meditates on it. He thinks about it. He allows it to dominate his thinking. He allows God's Word to control his thinking. The results are found in verse 4. Notice the Bible says that the ungodly are not so. I should say verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we find here that whatsoever he doeth, he's going to prosper spiritually. Why? He's a godly man. His meditation allows the Word of God to do the thinking for him. Now, I know that goes against the world. I know that the world could put on an expose on a 60 Minutes or 2020 to make it look like it's sick, or those people are crazy, or they're secluded, or they really don't understand what's going on in the world. The world can do that. But this is what God's Word says. This is what our Creator says. That we're not to walk in the counsel of the God. We're not to stand with sinners. We're not to sit with the scorners. Our delight should be the Word of God. And what's the result? Fruitfulness. And that's what we want in our lives. And some of you who say you're saved, you would do yourself a great and wonderful thing if you would allow the Word of God to dominate your life in every area of your life. Whether it be your marriage, whether it be your finance, whether it be your workplace, what you do with your spare time, how you think. Now, there's five things that God commands us to do with the Word of God. And He tells us, first of all, that we're to delight in it. We're the delight in it. But here's the five things I want to mention to you. First of all, God instructs us to hear His Word. And that's why it's important when you come to the house of God to wake up. Amen. Don't allow yourself to get in a slumped position and start thinking about other things and making plans for after service and the next day and the next week and so on. Your focus should be on the things of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Psalm 15:31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Let me repeat that. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, I know this to be true not only here, but other churches. I think it's a handful, if not less, of people come here and they just go off another way. They're not listening to the Bible, and they're surely not applying the Bible. They go through the motion for the spouse's sake, the children, the parents, but they're not here. But listen to what God's Word says. He that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The Bible says in Matthew 7, after Jesus spoke about entering the straight gate, the narrow way, the Bible speaks about in the last days, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out, in thy name done many wonderful works. Then he gives the illustration of the man who builds his house upon the rock and the man who builds his house upon the sand. And he says, the man who builds his house upon the sand, great was the father of. The Lord says in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 26, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And again, the important thing in understanding verse 26, Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not shall be likened unto a fool, a foolish man which built his house upon sand. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus warns us in Mark 4. He warns us, be careful what you hear. In verse 18 of Luke 8, and be careful how you hear. And Luke 21:8, God warns us not to be deceived. Now, how is that possible? By filtering everything through the law of the Lord. Allowing the Word of God to be your guide. Allow the Word of God to make your decisions. Now, I want to say this, and I want you to listen to me as your pastor, and you get offended, that's your fault. But I know there are some people that could have been here. We had wonderful attendance, but we didn't have perfect attendance. The people could have been here Thursday night, could have been here Friday night, or the missions conference just didn't come. And you're going to answer to God for that. Amen. You don't have license to just take off. Well, I didn't want to be, you know, I had things done. There's a special TV show I want to. That's crazy. You're going to answer to Jehovah for that. Now, I realize you can't be, I understand that. Sometimes people traveling home from work can't get to church in time. I understand all those things. But to miss the house of God because you didn't feel like coming or something like that, beloved, that is the opposite of Christianity. Amen. Amen. That's why it's so important to, again, when you come to the house of God, come with a clear mind, a receptive heart, and an open Bible. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the ground and pillar of the truth, a pillar and ground of the truth. The truth, as the Bible says, is the Word of God. And we know that the church is not the truth, but it upholds the truth. And that's why it's so important to be in the house of God. You know, the Bible says, turn with me, if you would, just for a moment to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice, please, verse 1. Now, the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, I want to say this before I close this section. I'll go to the next one. That the missions conference, to me, is the most important conference of the year. I love the revival. I need revival. We need to have revival. But the missions conference really is making a statement about what we're going to do for another year. And it's important to be challenged about the lost. About what our church needs to do. About fasting and prayer. About giving. Giving of time. Giving of money. To faith promise missions. It's important. And see, when you stray away from the house of God and you miss here and there and you drop out and you're not faithful to the house of God, you know what that does? That causes you to be weakened. And you can say all you want, now I believe all the tenets of the faith and so on. Hey, baloney, you may believe them, but you don't come and practice them, your belief is nil and void. God tells us here, the time will come, and what? They'll not endure sound doctrine. You know what happens when you get away from the fire, when you get away from the heat? It's going to have a great effect on you. It's going to cause you to be lukewarm. And then all of a sudden what happens, because you're not right with God, because you're not coming faithfully to the house of God, not leading your family to the house of God, you start waiting and say, you know what, it's just that. You know, I love the preacher and so on. But you know, sometimes he just rides this thing and so on. Yeah, amen. Amen. You know what I've been tempted to do? I've been tempted to preach the same sermon over and over and over and over till everyone gets it right. Amen. Why go on to something else if you didn't get the last one right? Well, you know, it's always That's right, because you're not right. When you get right, maybe we'll move on to something else. I know you get a good variety of preaching here. I know that for a fact. But notice what he says here. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know why preaching is important? It puts lust in check. That's right. You know how you feel when the preacher's up here preaching on your sin. Right? All of a sudden you reconsider things. I need to change some things. I need to do, make some, I've done it before plenty of times. I need to change this in my life. I need to start applying this in my life. You get away from the heat, get away from preaching because, you know, Wednesday night, you know, Sunday night, I'm just going to sit home. I just want to get my robe and feel comfortable. How many feel, I mean, just let's be plain. How many feel at times on a Wednesday night or Sunday night you like to just stay at home and get in your PJs early and just relax? How many feel that way? All right. But you're here tonight. And I commend you for it. See, it's important to be in the house of God. And we need it more and more as we get closer to the last day, as we close to the Lord's return. We're in the last days. Notice the Bible says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. You know that happens? You get away from the Word of God. Get away from reading the Bible, hearing the Word of God, meditating upon all these things we're going to bring out tonight. You get away from that. Next thing you know, you're starting to cool off. Next thing you know, you become indifferent. Next thing you know, you find the preaching offensive. I know what the Bible says, but over in this church, well, what do you know about that church? Did you go visiting? Where's the crickets when you need them? Amen? You know what I think of that stuff? I think that's Judas Iscariot. That's what I think. When you're faithful to your membership of this local church, I believe that's Judas Iscariot philosophy mentality. While he's acting, oh, I'm one of the apostles. Oh, I'm eating, breaking bread with Jesus. On, he's also seeing the Pharisees. Amen. And selling out the Lord for just a handful of change. Second of all, we see not only the hearing of God's word, but the reading of God's word. And notice the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Let's just turn over real quickly to that. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Notice what Paul says here to Timothy, to pass on to the church at Ephesus. And he says here in verse 13, boy, I missed that. Here we go. In verse 13, he tells them, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. See? Give attendance. That's what Paul says. That's why it's important to know your Bible. Important to read the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 2, newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what? Grow thereby. The Bible says in Revelation 1, 13, blessed is the man that readeth. And so we find here there's benefits to reading the Word of God. There's godly counsel. There's peace. There's joy. There's direction. There's a renewing of your mind. There's wisdom. Anyone know what they had for lunch last a week from Tuesday, a week from yesterday? Anyone remember? Bruce? No? Any of you ladies over here? Men? Mike? You don't know what you had for lunch on a week ago? Anyone know? You know, lots of times. Oh, you know, Carlos, what'd you have? Turkey. Would you have a whole turkey? A whole leg. And nothing but the legs will help you? All right. Do you have it on bread or just on a plate? That's even harder. But anyway, the thought is this. Most people don't know. But it sustains us. Lots of times you'll read the Bible as a devotion. You're doing your devotion, you're reading. And you say, sometimes, preacher, I forget what I read. That's all right. It happens sometimes. But think about what you're doing. You're taking the Word of God in. Try to find a verse as you're reading the Word of God to meditate upon it. Something that stands out in that reading that day that you say, I'm going to take that with me throughout the day. I'm going to mull that over. We went out when we were up in Boston, went to a restaurant. They say it's the world's greatest sandwich restaurant. Sam LaGraza's. I'm telling you. Brother Fryman and I had a chipotle, pastrami, panini. Amazing, I said those three words. It was delicious. The pastrami was better than cats. Oh, just relax, relax. Guy's ready to take up arms. It melted. Panini bread was off the charts. The chipotle sauce. There was a little mustard at the bottom. I'm telling you, my mouth was exploding. And when I was done eating, the girl said, "Would you like a piece of gum?" No. Why would I rob myself of a blessing and letting this be in my mouth for a little bit? Let it stick to my ribs. I was like one of those, you ever see a lion when it's done? I was just trying to get everything I could. Going around my teeth. Hoping to find just a little piece of chipotle left. Whatever that is. Pastrami. And then maybe a half hour, I changed my mind. It was done. But see, it just stayed with me. It was delicious. Well, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. As you're reading and something speaks to your heart, say, this is the verse I'm going to mull over for a while. This is a verse I'm going to allow myself to think about. You might want to jot it down. You might want to, purposely repeat it to yourself. You might want to, depending where you are, leave your Bible open if you're at home and just keep going back and look at that verse that God spoke to your heart about or something that you need. But the importance of reading the Word of God. And then third of all, studying the Word of God. And you know the verses about studying the Bible. In Acts 17:11, speaking about the Bereans, how they search the Scriptures daily. And then the Bible tells us in John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that speak of me." Paul said to Timothy, "Study that and show thyself approved unto God." So the importance of studying the Word of God, searching the Scriptures. And again, to have a good Bible study, I want to tell you this, is get your King James Bible and get yourself a Strong's Concordance. That's important. Look up words. You know, sometimes we think I have to read 5 chapters. I got to read 10 chapters. And that's sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you ever sit down and you say every day there's something wrong, but aren't there times you say, "I could eat. I just feel like eating." Your body's crying out for something. Maybe it's water. but you say, "I could eat all day." There's sometimes with the Word of God you just eat all day. But the thought is this, you want to look up words. You don't have to read 5 chapters every day. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying you don't have to. If you're studying the Bible and stop and look up, penning down what that means, getting an understanding, rereading that little text there, those 5 verses, and letting it become part of you. It's good to have a reference book. A Bible dictionary, treasure of Scripture knowledge. We have these books in the bookstore. Nay's Topical Bible, Way of Life Encyclopedia. Why? It helps you in your understanding. A Bible handbook, something like that. And then it's also important, as you're studying, to be obedient to what God speaks to your heart about. And then use what you learn. Be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." You see, what you're doing is you're disciplining yourself. You're stabilizing yourself. Is that a word? Stabilizing yourself as you're reading and doing the Word. And then the idea of it builds your faith. So important as you're studying. There's lots of things you study. You study a book. I recommend this. I did it for years. It just grounded me in the truth. Reading the epistles. Read an epistle for a month. The same epistle every day. Write down as God speaks to your heart. Keep a little notebook there. Write down definitions of words. I did Ephesians, all the epistles. Read them over. There are 6 chapters and maybe 5 chapters. I really feel burdened to, study Jude for the next month. I mean, put a little bit more into it. Amen? But if you're going to study Jude, study it. So don't look for I'm going to read Philemon for a month. But study it. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know if you'd be done in a month. It might be a little bit less. There is a lot in there. But what I'm saying is read and read and read and read and read. And then study the book. List the repeated words or keywords or phrases. I think in the book of Ephesians, the word grace is found 12 times. Spiritual is found 18 times. Walk is found 8 times. Mystery, 5 times. Body, 8 times. Christ is Lord, 28 times. Well, that's a good book to study. Ground you in the faith. List what is taught about each person of the Godhead. Maybe there's an attribute that stands out. You know, you think about the book of Titus. Anyone want to quickly tell me what attribute of God stands out in Titus? How about his veracity? God, who cannot lie. He's a God of truth. Amen? These are things to be thinking about and considering as you're reading the Bible. What are the main thoughts or thought? And then any background to the book, gaining from the text, from preaching, from a reference book, and so on. Be careful when you go online where you're going to get your information. Make sure it's not a Catholic website. They may give you the wrong information. Make sure it's not a Baptist, a Protestant website. But try to find a good Baptist website. And I think the Way of Life Encyclopedia is a wonderful tool. Fourth of all is memorize the Word of God. What does Psalm 119:11 say? Anyone? Barry? Absolutely. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Colossians 3:16 says what? Anyone? Let the Word of Christ... Yeah, John. Yeah, richly. Richly. You ever go up to someone and you say, can I borrow $1 from you real quick, $5? Well, yeah, I can. This is my last $5. Isn't it nice to go up to someone who has money and it's, it's $5, whenever you get a chance, don't worry about it. It's nice to be able to borrow money like that, as long as you pay it back. But that's where the Word of God ought to be in us, richly. It ought to be dominating our lives. It ought to be coming out of us on a regular basis. We ought to make a reference to it. It ought to be part of our conversation. To be rich in the Word of God. But that comes from memorizing the Bible. And then let me just give a couple of thoughts here about memorizing. We'll be done just in a few minutes. First of all, try to understand what the Bible is saying in that verse. What does that verse mean? Read the verse several times thoughtfully. Read it out loud. Learn the reference first. Someone's just telling me recently, he said, I know a lot of the verse, but I don't know the references. So you're going to just memorize John 3:16. Repeat John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Put that reference first. Repeat the verse over and over. Think about the verse, what it means to you. And once it's memorized, review it. Use it in your speech. Share it with someone. You're married, share it with your spouse and memorize the Word of God together. So another thing is, who does this apply to? I'm trying to skip through this for time's sake. And what should I learn about this? And did anyone in the Word of God go through this before? All these different things. And then last of all, you want to meditate. And meditate means to dwell, to think, to look for an application in my life. I'm going to meditate upon this. Usually when people meditate, in Christianity is offenses. Can't believe they did that to me. I can't. I'm hurt by this. Bothers me. Every time you see me, you're bothered by it. You meditate upon it. You dwell upon it. You think it over and over and over and over. And it gets worse every time you think about it. Well, that's not where to be meditating upon, beloved. Where to forgive. Amen? Where to forgive. But meditate, dwell, think on, look for an application in my life of the Word of God. You know the Bible speaks about, back in Psalm 1 here, where the Bible tells us, delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. He's thinking it over. One man said he's chewing the cud. That's what a cow does. Gets the grass. You've seen the cow with the big mouth and they're chewing whatever they're eating, the grass or the hay. And what do? They swallow it. They digest it. Goes into a second stomach. And then it comes back out. And they chew a little bit more. Now, we're not cows. Amen? But what I'm saying is, that's what a cow does. That's what it means to meditate, to chew this thing over, to think about it. To make application in your life. And the Bible tells us what happens in verse 2. We're to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. We're to be meditating upon it. Joshua 1:8, Bible says, and that if we meditate, we'll have great success. See, this is what's missing today, and that's why a lot of Christians are just subpar. What they should be compared to our forefathers, we're subpar because we've been influenced. We've allowed the world to have access to us, to harden our hearts, to influence us, the place that we compare ourselves among the lost. What they have, that's what I want, materialism, riches, fun, games, all these things that are not essential to life. And then what do we have? We have a lot of carnality among Christians. People who should be further along spiritually are stunted spiritually because of what you've allowed and what you've not allowed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And the results shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's where we need to be. That's how we think right. Allowing the Word of God to dominate our lives. Now here's the invitation tonight. I want you to just take a moment and answer this question. Am I faithful in hiding the Word of God in my heart? In reading it? In meditating upon it? In memorizing it? Am I thinking about life through the Word of God? If not, you need to confess that tonight. If you're lost, I would be pouring over the Gospel of John. I have a Bible at my where I live, read it. I'd have a Bible in my car for downtime. I'd have it on CD. I'd be listening to it. I would get the Word of God in my life to change my thinking so I might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't go on a 5-year journey. I'm going to change my thinking. You just need to repent. But if you're struggling, if there's a struggle there, get the Word. You're better off listening to that than 66 or 770 or 880 on the radio. And filtering the word of the world's views. Get in the book. Those who are saved, we should be drenched, rich in the Word of God. I trust you'll take heed tonight. Let's stand on our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for thy word, and thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, help us to take heed to the commandments of the Word of God, as the Bible says.